Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 377th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Circus Sports. Circus Sports is back with their Circus Survivor and Circa Millions contests. $14 million up for grabs. Get all the details at circussports.com.
Joe DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 377. Going to go out to one of our old friends from the Sports Gambling Podcast Discord, Chad G, who has shown back up. I was just thinking of him the other day. Who is the crazy guy who would listen to us to fall asleep at night? I don't know if that's a compliment or not to us. I think it may not be a compliment, but I was thinking, who was that guy? And he was the same guy that would wake up his wife when you listen to us and get all excited when we talked about him or her. But then he popped up and like, yes, that's who it was. It was Chad G. So welcome back to the Discord, Chad G. Discord was jumping last night for UFC 290. So if you're not in there, get in there and have some fun with the rest of us. Yeah, UFC 290 was a epic, wacky event. Some wacky results, not in our favor, a lot of it. But can't complain about the excitement and the quality of the fights that we got last night. Let's bring in the co-host of mine who had the exact same picks as mine. So neither of us can dunk on each other due to our results. It's the one and only Daniel Gumby-Vreeland. Hello.
I think there was only one fight that when I was watching, I was like, this ain't great.
Which one was that?
Petrino versus Procneo.
Yeah, that was, Petrino looked good though. So good enough for a prospect.
Maybe it's just because it's light heavyweight, man. That division's
I put that on the qualifier on there. Yes.
Yeah. It's destitute, in terms of its prospects. I guess he can be one, but man, yeah, that fight wasn't terribly exciting. It was like two really tired guys clinching a lot. But apart from that, the entire fight card was super fun. So, even ones that were supposed to be squash matches, weren't necessarily
sweaty.
Yeah, or we're like weirdly sweaty, or we saw something that we learned about somebody at some point in time. I mean, Bo Nickel's hands, like, come on, like this was the perfect kind of pay-per-view, and I think even the UFC was super thrilled in how it ended up.
Yeah, you'd have to have thought that the UFC would have enjoyed the outcomes last night, because a lot of favorable outcomes actually happened for them, so they can make fresh, probably more favorable matchups in for the fans and in for casual fans' eyes. So that went well. Our picks, not so much. It's a shame that last episode was one of our most downloaded episodes yet, because we didn't give out the greatest picks. I guess the main card, we were three out of five, so that wasn't the worst. But
we also hit two underdogs.
That's true.
Yeah,
our recommended plays,
not so great.
Yeah, but thank you everyone for listening. Onwards and upwards for the podcast. So this episode, if you haven't guessed already, we will be recapping all of the comings and goings at UFC 290 and figure out what's next and preview for next week. I'm sure the UFC has a power-packed fight night ready for us next week. I'm sure it can't be like something with like women's bantamweights headline yet. It wouldn't be something like that, because no one would want to watch that. So Before we get to all of that, Circa Sports are in the house. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor are back. 14 million in guaranteed prizes are up for grabs. Circa Millions is five NFL picks against the spread each week. And Circa Survivor is you just pick a different money line winner each week. You enter Vegas, play from anywhere. Sports Gambling Podcast will be out there, there being Las Vegas at Circa, the last weekend in August. CircaSports.com for all the details. That's CircaSports.com. We decided with the money, Gumby was going to get UFC Boston tickets if he wins, $15 million, and he says to pick the Cowboys for anything you can pick.
That's pretty accurate. They're playing the Giants week one. They should steamroll.
Yes, they should. All right, the UFC steamrolled at the gate last night. $9.75 million is what they brought in at the T-Mobile Arena. 19,204 people in attendance. They saw a very good main event, or a fun main event. Alexander Volkanovski defeated Yair Rodriguez. TKO punches. We actually got a finish Volkanovski, which is nice to see. Round three, 419 into it. This was a title unification belt. And Volkanovski, we had at minus 400. Not the craziest pick of ours, but it's good to see that he's still going strong. He's not letting his first UFC loss, albeit up at lightweight, he's not letting that slow him down. He was as dominant and as smart and high fight IQ and everything you could ask for. He was that in spades last night.
Yeah, it seems like he's inventing new wrinkles as he goes too, which is the craziest thing because he's already so damn good. Like he's one of the greatest of all time. I think we can agree at this point that anybody out there who's having like a conversation about who the greatest featherweight is of all time and still is trying to argue Jose Aldo, you're crazy. Like, this guy is so much better than Jose Aldo is because he's so much more well-rounded. He just went out there and he fought a striker and was largely beating the shit out of him on the feet. Like, it wasn't like Yair's craziness was like hard for Volk to predict. In fact, Volk's craziness was hard for Yair to predict. He was throwing a low left leg kick, switching stances, and then throwing a right hand from the lead up top. I mean, that's the one that knocked him out. He landed it like three or four times before that, though. And the fact that like he was doing things that the unpredictable guy couldn't predict or couldn't deal with, I mean, it just shows like he is so good in so many different ways. That like anybody at featherweight right now has got nothing for him. And I mean that even having just seen Ilia Topuria look as good as he did, like I still think Volkanovski is just going to absolutely maul him the same way that he did Yair Rodriguez.
Yeah, that's what it was in Bloody Elbow, I believe. They had a guy in Bloody Elbow suggested Ilia Topuria is next. I see Spencer Kite, I'm scrolling through his stuff now. He suggests the same thing. So you think that's where we're headed for Volkanovski?
No, no, I don't.
You think we're going to get lightweight?
I mean, if it were up to me, I'd have him stay at featherweight because you know me, I'm a little bit more of a divisional purist. I don't really care too much to see the champion versus champion fights.
Me too.
Yeah, they're not for me. But dude, they're going to Abu Dhabi in like 2.5 months.
Yes.
You know, like, or what is it? Yeah, a little more than that. It might be 3 months now. I think it's October. They're going to Abu Dhabi in October. They need a fight for Makhachev. What in the world would make them say Oliveira 2? You know what I mean? Instead of Volkanovski 2. And like in the meantime, if you're bummed about like Topuria not getting his, like just set Topuria up with an interim title fight with Max Holloway sometime in January. Because let's face it, Max Holloway is going to absolutely wax Korean Zombie. So just set them up for an interim title fight in January. And then one of them can be the champ, just like Yair was the champ when Volkanovski beats him again. So, like, for me, I would much rather see Topuria just happen now. Like, put that in Abu Dhabi. I don't give a crap where Volkanovski fights. But I will say I don't think that's the way the UFC is going. I think they're going to set up the big fight again. It's exciting. It was close the first time. Makhachev seems to be the only guy in the world who can beat Volkanovski, and to be fair, I don't even think he beat him the first time, but it's at least, you know, like a possibility. Set it up again. I'm here for it.
We don't need to see Volkanovski lose again. We need him to start rolling again at featherweight, but we don't get to decide these things, do we?
We don't, but I would also say, like, you know, there is one clear-cut contender right now, but like it's not like there's a huge line waiting behind him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like what, just scroll down the UFC featherweight rankings for like a quick second. And like, it's people he's beat or people who have like kind of taken themselves out. Right. Yair's won. Max, he's beaten 717 times. Brian Ortega, he's already beaten. Arnold Allen just took himself out. Aliyah Tapuria is the one we're talking about. He's 5. Josh Emmett's been worked over 100 times in a row. Calvin Kattar seems to be on the shelf. Chan Sung Jung. Like, it's nobody who's, like, pining for that next spot. You know, like, the closest thing you might have is, like, what if Movsar Evloev puts together a couple more wins? Like, what if Giga Chikadze comes out? What if Giga Chikadze comes out of hibernation? Like, yeah, just give them, and they can take time. Give them time. Let Aliyah sit around or let him take an interim title fight. And like I said, I would much rather the Aliyah fight happen now, but I get why they're going to do it.
Yep. We don't get to decide these things, but we will enjoy watching it nonetheless. We enjoy watching the co-main event. We hit that one too. An underdog, no less. Alessandra Pantoja, new champion. It was a split decision, but it shouldn't have been. Well, it could have been a split decision, but the decision was not correct. 46-49. Someone gave Brandon Moreno second through fifth rounds. Someone named Ben Cartilage. That's a fireable offense in our eyes. The correct card was 48-47 Pantoja. You could have even gone 49-46 Pantoja. But the official scores were 46-49, 48-47, 48-47. A very easy choice for Fight of the Year. A bloody battle, back and forth battle. But Pantoja was the rightful winner. He was clearly the better man here. So now he's 3-0 against the former champion, Brandon Moreno. And we had him at plus 163. No reason that number should have been that high.
No, it was great. And I'll say this too, like about the judging. Ben Cartilage is the one that like Severe MMA like pumps out as like the idea of
doing.
Yeah, he doesn't, because that is some awful scorecards. You know, like for me, it was so easy to score rounds. 1, 2, 3, and 5 were easy for me. It was, you know, Pantoja clearly won all the odd number rounds. Moreno clearly won 2, and you know, flip a coin on 4. You could give Moreno 4 or you could give Pantoja 4. I don't even really care, but that's like the best case scenario. So Cartilage gave, you know, Moreno 2.5 rounds that really belonged to Pantoja, which was, I mean, just one of those things where you're like, what fight are you watching, man? Or what are you trying to say? So, yeah, kind of crazy, but I will say it at the end of the day, that all comes out in the wash when like the right person wins the fight anyway. So I'm pumped that the right guy won the fight. And this is going to be fun for flyweight because, I interviewed Brandon Royval. I want to say it was like a year ago, and asked him about, you know, Figueiredo versus Moreno 4 or whatever it was at the time. And he said, he really wishes it would end because he didn't think Figueiredo or Moreno were the best guys in the division. He's like, I don't even think they're really top 2 or 3 guys in the division. He was like, there's plenty of guys who are better and they're just not getting their chance. And maybe that's true. Maybe Pantoja's about to show that like him and Royval might just be, and maybe somebody like Amir Albazi, although I think he lost to Kaikara France, but maybe those guys are a step better than Pantoja and Figueiredo were while they were clogging up the division. But Pantoja definitely looked like the better guy on Saturday.
Yep, definitely. No dispute, really. Well, I guess there was a dispute by one person.
By Ben Cartilage.
Ben Cartilage. We say your name. All right. We hit that one.
Did the media mostly get that one right? Did they all say?
Yeah, everyone did. I think. Okay, let me check. MMADecisions.com is the place to be if you want to check out disputed scores. So pretty much every fight card, you're going to be on here checking the score. Media scores, 49-45. We have one for that. Everybody, almost everybody else, 49-46. A few people, 48-47. And then a few, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, 47-48, Moreno. Bloody Elbow.
Yep, there you go.
EKC Leiden, MMA Fighting, Sherdog, you know, the usual suspects.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Casey's kind of a bummer. I like that dude, and that's a bad scorecard, my friend.
Sean Sheehan had a 49-46 Pantoja, and he's the one who seems to know what he's doing. So yeah,
attaboy.
good to see Pantoja win that fight. Now since he's officially he's 2-0 against Moreno, but when you count the tough house, he's 3-0. He finished him in the house too. Do you think they're going to do a third official fight for these two for a rematch, or is Pantoja going to get a fresh opponent?
I think the answer to both of those questions is no. I don't think they're going to do the third one right away, and no, I don't think he's going to get a fresh opponent.
Oh no,
because he's already fought Brandon Royval.
Think it's going to be Royval? Do you?
I mean, Royval is coming off of 3 straight wins. His last 2 losses before that were to Pantoja and Moreno back to back. That was when his shoulder was all janky and not 100% fixed. Since then, he's beaten Bonjarine, Matt Schnell, Nicolau, and he finished the last 2 in the first round and won performance bonuses. And if you go before those 2 losses to Pantoja Moreno, 4 more wins in a row. So like, apart from losing to those 2 top guys in the division, he's been undefeated. I think it's probably him next. Like, it's not Albazi coming off of that weird split loss to Kaikar France, or it's a split win, but it wasn't really a win. I think he's more deserving than Albazi is all I'll say.
And he's a bit of a wild man. It would be good. And so is Pantoja. So it would probably be a fun fight.
Yeah, it would be fucking chaos is what it would be.
There you go. There you go. All right. Now, perhaps that wasn't the biggest surprise of the night, because we picked that. And like I said, Pantoja is undefeated against Brandon Moreno. This was not just the outcome was not just the biggest surprise tonight, but how it occurred. Dricus du Plessis, aka Nose Job GDP, that's the new legendary character that you can unlock in the game. Nose Job GDP. Did you know Hyodin was getting 8% oxygen, Dan? Now he's getting 100%.
Wow. 129%
oxygen. I don't think the oxygen is why he TKO'd Robert Whittaker, but he TKO'd Robert Whittaker. 223 into the second round. No fluke, no lucky punch. He actually did almost a headlock takedown of Robert Whittaker, which a hip toss headlock takedown, which was a shock. He actually grappled and took down Robert Whittaker and bloodied him up and ended up finishing him off on the ground. We did not see this coming. Not many people did. DDP is a wild fighter. Hasn't really shown that he's good, just show he's effective, but he hasn't shown that he's good. But I don't know, maybe he's good now that he can breathe. Maybe he's good.
Yeah,
I try to make sense here.
I think he's definitely better than I was giving him credit for. He was doing some really crafty things on the feet. I mean, like, to be able to tag Robert Whittaker, you have to be doing good things on the feet, because Robert Whittaker isn't a guy who just like sticks his neck out there and does something dumb. He's notoriously good at being, you know, the kind of guy who picks his shots and stays safe, and he couldn't against du Plessis. So also, like, it's important to note too about du Plessis, that like headlock, hip throw takedown. He is originally a judo guy. That is his background. Oh, yeah? Where he came. Yeah, I think he started doing judo when he was like a little kid, and transitioned to kickboxing and stuff like that. But like, he does have judo skills back. If he's been training since he was 5, I want to say he's probably, he's probably well high ranked by now. They probably got a black belt just based on time and the fact that he's a high level MMA fighter. But like, yeah, he started doing judo when he was a little kid. So it's not surprising that he's got some of those skills in there, but it is surprising that like he got Whittaker with him. So like, yeah, maybe we need to put a little respect on his name. I wasn't before the fight. I think he looked great. Whittaker, this is kind of upsetting, but like we said at the top, UFC is getting the matchups they wanted. Cause Pantoja is a champ, fun thing. Volkanovski possibly moving up and doing that again, you know, fun thing for the UFC. Du Plessis versus Izzy, man, dude, that is going to sell some tickets. People are going to be tuning in for that shit.
Yes, exactly. And I don't care about, apparently they had a fake showdown, the champ Adesanya and DDP in the cage. I don't care about any of that stuff. It's a bunch of nonsense, made up, fake.
I mean, like, so I don't care. I think I think there's some genuine dislike there, at least coming from Izzy.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah. So I don't think it's all manufactured. I mean, like, they clearly brought Izzy into the cage as quickly as they could because they're like, let's use this moment to make this as big as we freaking can. And they did a good job of that, too, because I think that's something that's going to headline a pretty big pay-per-view card, and it's going to get a lot of people buying it. And, you know, if they did it in Africa, it would be even big. I don't know where they would do it there. I don't know where the infrastructure, it would be huge there too. But even if they do it in Abu Dhabi, or they do it in Sydney, or, you know, they do it in Florida, it's still.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to us personally.
Yeah. Well, and it's going to generate buzz and sell tickets regardless.
Yep. For sure. So yeah, that was, like I said, the biggest surprise of the night. For sure. What isn't a surprise? Actually, that was a big underdog surprise. And that's going to lead us right into our other sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, as I clumsily transitioned to it. I tried, but it didn't really work. We're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy! Best Ball Mania 4 is here, and Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes. That deserves an exclamation point as well. Underdog Pick'em is also a great way to get down on your favorite MLB and NFL season player props. So many ways to win over our Underdog, and Underdog is available in so many states. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This was a bit of a surprise as well. Not after we saw the weigh-ins, though, because we know when fighters miss weight, they tend to lose, and that's what happened with Jalen Turner, who we were marveling how 6'3" Jalen Turner gets down 155 pounds. Well, he didn't get down 155 pounds on Friday. He made it 158, came in overweight, so he gave away, 20% of his purse, usually is what it is, to Dan Hooker. And then he went out there and lost a barn burner, thrilling fight, back-and-forth affair against a newly dyed blonde, whitish blonde Dan Hooker. Split decision again, 28-29, 28-28, 29-28. In this case, I believe the right man won, even though we had Turner as a pretty big favorite, minus 245.
Yeah, I think the right guy won too, but I'll also say this. I still think I would pick Jalen Turner to beat Dan Hooker again. Like, I think if that fight gets rolled back, I'd pick the same exact thing. And it won't get rolled back because, like, Hooker won. But, like, I think the bad weight cut really caught Jalen Turner because he looked really good in the first. And then he just looked exhausted, which maybe this is eventually cutting down to lightweight, catching up on him. And maybe it's a wake-up call that he does need to go up to 170 pounds. And I'll tell you something. I don't know that he would do badly at 170 pounds. You know, like
he would be one of the bigger guys there too.
Yeah, so. Like I think you put him in there with like Jeff Neal. Like I think that's a fun fight. And I don't know that I would just pick Jeff Neal right off jump. Or you know, like you put him in there with Vicente Luque. Yeah, I might pick Jalen Turner over Vicente Luque. So Yeah, like I think he got beat by the weight cut more than he got beat by Dan Hooker here.
Yeah, but I think what we did learn there is Dan Hooker still got plenty of gas left in the tank. He always was durable, but he can still beat top fighters. He's won two straight now. Claudio Puelles, not, you know, top of the weight class or anything like that, but Jalen Turner is a bigger, very tough matchup, a guy who was on a bit of a rise up the division. So this is a very big win for him.
Yeah, and head is hard as rocks. Seems like you can't knock this dude out. So
yeah, we knew that, but he really came through. Looked good, basically in all aspects. His grappling was on point. His striking is always on point. So yeah, very very good performance by the Aussie, Mr. Hangman Hooker. We hit this one. We made what? How much? $100 bet.
$4.
Yes. Because Bo Nickel was -2500, and you look like -2500 over Val's Lawn Care, Valentin Woodburn. TKO punches by Bo Nickel. 38 seconds into the first round. What we did learn, even though it was only 38 seconds, we did learn that Nickel has some hands on him. Woodburn had never been beaten before, let alone knocked out. And Nickel put it on him very, very, very quickly on the feet. Didn't even need to go to the ground. Didn't even need to go and finish off the fight on the ground. It was taken care of on the feet.
Yeah, two things. First of all, Dan Hooker's from New Zealand, right? Not awesome.
Right. Ooh. I think Australia and New Zealand's pretty cool with each other, but yes.
Yeah.
But I think someone called me an American. Ugh.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. And then secondly, I kind of thought Bo Nickel could do this to Val Woodburn. I didn't think he would, because I thought he'd play it safer and try to get him out of there as quickly as he could. And I think the quickest way to get Val Woodburn out would probably been takedown and a rear naked choke. But I'll say this. Like, he still needs to fight somebody, right? Like, we need to step this dude up in competition. I know they tried to do that a little bit with Trayshawn Gore, but, like, you know, I said this on Thursday's show. Val Woodburn was a guy who is going to be on Contender Series that I was planning on picking his opponent. Like, I had already scouted that fight, and I was already picking RoboCop. It's a different RoboCop. It's a different HoboCop. I was already picking HoboCop in that fight because Woodburn is just, like, he's risky. He throws bombs, and he doesn't protect his chin. So, like, yes, we learn a little bit that Bo Nickel's got some hands, but we also, it's time for him to fight the Brad Tavareses of the world or something just a little bit higher, maybe not all the way up to Brad Tavares, but somebody in the like 20-ish range rather than these like guys who have 1 foot out the UFC right now.
Yep. Very, very true. But you know, we always complain when they do rush people. So, you know, keep it,
but most people are not a four-time All-American.
It's true. You sound like Kurt Angle saying that you're an Olympian. Yes, he is a four-time All-American. It's true. So who? Okay, well, let's. You're good at picking fights usually. Who are you booking if you were booking? Who are you booking Bo Nickel with next? Like the original booking here? That Trayshawn Gore. Did you like that or not?
I thought Trayshawn Gore would have been the right step for this fight. Right, like he needed to take a step forward. So that we could see some things from him. And at the end of the day, we didn't really see anything from him because it's just one of those situations where somebody falls off and we wind up with a much worse person. But like, how about like Puna Soriano? Can he fight Puna Soriano? You know, or Jacob Malkin. He could fight Jacob Malkin or Phil Hawes. You know, like people like that who aren't like, you know, are in danger of being fired by the UFC. Although I guess Phil Hawes with a loss, but that dude has fought. Didn't he fight Dalidze and Liskarov back to back, which is insane. But like somebody like that, or Jacob Malkin, like I said, those types of guys, they're not top 15 guys, but they at least represent a much larger step up than Trayshawn Gore or Val Woodburn would.
Okay. There you go. Is everyone listening? Are y'all listening? So, no more lawn care professionals. So our friend in the Discord cannot get a fight against Bo Nickel next. Is that what you're saying?
No, nobody should get a fight against Bo Nickel next out of our Discord. No offense to the Discord.
Scuba's going to fight him.
I don't want to fight with Bo Nickel.
And that's true. Yeah,
I'm bigger than he is. So
yeah, that's true. All right. So that was the main card. We went 3-5 with an underdog. So yeah, we did okay with that. I'm glad that episode was was downloaded. Like I said, one of our most listened to episodes. Thanks, everyone. But it's our fancy plays that we're going to go through at the end. That we took it in the boys on. All right. Prelims. Well, let's go through these fairly quickly. You mentioned in the Discord that this could happen. I think it was you that mentioned it, right? Nico Price could come out and get himself starched by Robbie Lawler, yep. And that's what happened. I didn't even get a chance to be too respectful. Like, you were afraid that he was going to be too...
I think he was too respectful. I still think he was. I went
38 back seconds of respect?
Yeah, I went back and watched that 38 seconds. Dude, look at the first 38 seconds of any Nico Price fight. Like, compare it with, you know, any of the guys he's fought in the past. The Cowboy Cerrone fight, or the, you know, Michelle Pereira fight, or who's another crazy one he had. We fought Tim Means. That fight was insane. Or, you know, even... was it Randy Brown who knocked him, or he knocked out? I think he knocked out Randy Brown. But like all of those fights, he comes running out of the gate. He's throwing hands right away, mixing it up, getting crazy. And if he had done that and got chinned in 38 seconds, that's cool. I'm fine with it. Like, at least he was fighting for our money. But he kind of waited for Robbie to throw, and then he wound up in a collar tie with a dude who's really good at throwing punches from a collar tie. And he didn't do anything to get out of it. It just seemed like he was in a weird spot, fighting a legend about to retire. And Nico Price is probably the perfect person they could pair him up with, because he's just a little bit enough of a head case that he would do something weird like this. And regardless, was going to give Robbie Lawler a fun fight.
Yeah. So, so long, Robbie Lawler. Thanks for the career. Thank you for getting out before you started getting knocked out every fight, which usually it takes guys being knocked out about five times in a row before they realize, hey, maybe I should retire here. Is Nico Price getting cut here? He has 3 wins in his last 10 fights, 3 wins, 6 losses, and a no contest, which was a draw. And then he tested positive for weed. So he's lost 2 straight, 3 of 4. He's got Alex Oliveira was his only win.
Who's not in the UFC anymore.
Since 2019.
And that one in 2019 is not in James the UFC Vick. Anymore either, is James Vick. And he was also kind of losing that fight until he threw that weird up kick.
Yeah.
If you're asking me, does he deserve to be cut? The answer is yes. If you're asking me if the UFC might try to find him another welterweight who's going to have a really weird fight with him or make somebody like Jalen Turner look great in his debut.
Oh, true. Let's do it. Let's
you
do
know,
that.
That's the Nico Price. And that's maybe like the one more thing he can do before he gets the Sam Alvey treatment.
Yep. Very, very good point. Okay. You may wonder why we haven't mentioned Jack Della Maddalena. First, he had his fight with Sean Brady fall through, and you got a newcomer, Josiah Harrell, step in. Then he, medical screening, they found a serious brain abnormality with him. So they're touting that they may have saved his life here, but he's been cut from the UFC already before he even fought.
No, and Jack Della, I'm not sure. Just to clarify that too, and this is for everybody who follows MMA roster watch on Twitter, because they said fighter removed. I actually I've heard, and I can't confirm this because I've just heard it from a couple of people around the UFC. I've heard he's still officially signed to the UFC. When you see his name removed like that, it just says that you no longer can vote for him in the official rankings. So because he had never had a fight, I think they took him out of as being an option, which like nobody was going to vote for him anyway. But like they took him out of being an option. I've heard should he be able to fight again, they are prepared to give him a fight. It might be years down the road, but like I've heard there is a chance he still winds up fighting for the UFC at some point.
Okay, cool. So anyhow, have you heard any news on our boy Jack Della? Is he gonna hang out until it's time for the event in Australia, or are we going to get him sooner than that?
So the word in the which was shared in the Discord earlier today, shout out to you guys sharing news sometimes even before I can get to it, is that he's still in Vegas and he's expecting an opponent for this upcoming weekend. I don't think Holly Holm's gonna fight him, but I did hear multiple people on Twitter after I got that news out of our Discord, but I saw multiple people on Twitter say just give him the main event. Because it's probably better. He's looking for either somebody who is signed and will fight him at 170, or if you can't find somebody already signed who will fight him at 170, some newcomer. They are prepared to basically find another Josiah Harrell for to be the lamb to slaughter.
Yep, hopefully a one that doesn't have any abnormalities. All right, Tetsuro Taira, his fight went through 130-pound catchweight against Edgar Chavez. Did not go exactly the way we expected. 29-27 was the winner. Taira was the winner. We had him at minus 1,000. Did not look like a minus 1,000 fighter in this fight. Chavez had a lot of game to him. Actually had Taira in trouble a few times on the ground, but I think this is good for Taira. Learning experience. He didn't even pick up the loss, still found a way to win, but yeah, he got himself into and out of quite a few sticky situations in this fight.
Yeah, and a good fight for Shar is taking this on short notice. He looked pretty yep. good actually, and you know, he definitely deserves to be in the UFC. He lost on Contender Series to Clayton Carpenter, which, like, in retrospect, no shame in that. His last loss before that was Jesus Aguilar, who we're going to talk about in a little bit. So, like, he's fought high-level dudes, and he was about to fight in Contender Series again. I think he basically showed us he was going to win that fight, or at least was deserving of being here. Because I think they're flyweights he'll beat. I'd pick him against certain flyweights.
Yep, for sure. So thoughts on our boy, Taira? Is he still our boy?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, he's a good grappler. He, you know, sure is just a guy who is kind of a weird matchup for him. First of all, it was on short notice, so he wasn't fighting the guy he had, you know, planned on fighting all of this time. And in addition to that, too, like, his best attributes are his jiu-jitsu, which, you know, Tetsuya is kind of the same way. So, like, you know, yeah. I think it was a weird matchup for him, and I think he handled it well. He wound up 29-27 across the board.
Yeah, so you got a 10-8. By my math, that means, right?
Yeah, I don't know where, but...
Yeah, well, let's take a peek. MMA decisions again. Yeah, but none of those rounds were 10-8 in my books. The second round wasn't a 10-8. Adelaide Bird, Ben Cartilage, Derek Cleary. Maybe that explains
it. What a team!
All of them had him. All of them had him at 10-8, but I don't remember the second round. I don't think he stood out the second round that much, did he?
I don't remember feeling like that, yeah. But hey, who knows?
You know who did stand out? Denise Gomes. We may have to keep an eye on her at strawweight. She's got unreal power for women's strawweight. She unleashed it. Well, the fight lasted 20 seconds, so she unleashed it well before that. TKO punches 20 seconds in the first round. It's probably less than 10 before she dropped Haregi, Yasmin Haregi, and then a flurry of follow-up shots. The ref gave, especially for a women's fight, a lot of time. A lot of times refs are accused of stopping women's fights way too early, but this was not the case here. Even Haregi did argue about it. Yeah, she got destroyed by Denise Gomes. We did not see this coming. Haregi was our pick here, and Dan thought the fight was going to go the distance. Ha ha. Did not happen.
Crazy. I think Gomes is legit, and I think... I think this might actually give me more hope for my girl, Bruta Brazil, because, you know, we were fading Bruta Brazil and said, you know, she didn't seem like she knew what she was doing against Denise. And turns out it's not easy to look good against Denise Gomes. So maybe Gomes is a little bit better than we thought.
Yeah. If you have power like that at, like I said, at women's strawweight, you're going to stand out and move up the division pretty quick. Cause it's rare to have power at lightweight classes. So there you go.
That's true.
Keep our eye on that girl. Light heavyweights, Alonzo Menifield. This was another one where the odds were a little wacky in our books, in our eyes, I mean, and we took advantage of it. He took care of Jimmy Crute. Submission, guillotine choke. We didn't see Alonzo Menifield beating the grappler by submission, but that's what happened. Minute 55 in the second round. Menifield, Crute, I think his volume probably was higher in terms of strikes, but Menifield's blows were definitely causing more damage and sending Crute backwards. Crute was going to retire, but his team talked him out of it since he's 27 years old. So Menifield picks up another W. We had him at plus 105. I know he's a little old. He's 35, but this is light heavyweight, ladies and gentlemen. And he has won, I think he's like 7-1-1 over his, no, not like a 5-1-1 over his last seven fights. So, someone worth moving up a bit. He's going to be ranked now for sure, but keep it going.
Yeah, I was getting ready to talk about him as being like the like guy who saved Saad turned around, But did he not have Save Saud in his corner?
He did not. He had different coaches in the corner there.
Did you see one of them was Pat Barry?
Pat Barry, yes. So he's up in the I don't know where he is then. So he's up. Is Pat Barry still with Elevation? Or was it Elevation he was
so at? He used to train with so Pat Barry used to be a guy who trained with Duke Rufus.
Okay, right. Yes.
But
yes,
then
yes.
I think he's been kind of just with Trevor Whitman since Roses.
Yep.
But at the same time, like, maybe he's with Trevor Whitman. I don't know. I tried to dig around and find it. I couldn't actually find it. So, it's that's a weird move. But like, he made all the improvements I would expect out of a Save Saud guy.
Weird, right?
That, like, he had good takedown defense and was doing good things with his arms in the clinch. And but yeah, no, if he fights like that, he's going to be trouble for a lot of light heavyweights because he's so strong and he looked really good physically too, especially for a guy who's kind of getting up there in age.
And he grappled with a grappler too. Like, usually when you think of Manyfield as the striker, but if he's got both things cooking, then maybe Pat Barry is a good coach, Dan.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, because
I wouldn't expect him being a grappling coach, being as he got rear naked choked by Miracle Krokop.
Correct. So we have Manyfield, and that was a big plus for us. All right, early prelims. Vitor Petrino maybe is good. It's too hard to tell at this point. He looked okay last night. Submission arm triangle choke, good enough for light heavyweight. He pretty much dominated Marcin Prochniow, 3:42 into the third round. He got the win, and we got the loss.
I still don't think he's good, but that's all I'll say. And we
can't fight anyone yet. And it is light heavyweight. So
yeah, I don't think he's good. Speaking of
not being good, Cameron Simon, I'm not going to fight you about him being good. Cause he took care of Terrence Mitchell, TKO punches 3:10 in the first round, but he still hasn't really fought anyone. He's only 22 years old. I think the reason there's a bullseye on him is he likes to talk a bit.
Also, he just gave up a takedown to Terrence Mitchell and very easily. Right? Like, I know the results keep coming up, Simon, right? And I know we keep having to be like, oh, yeah, he's 3-0 at bantamweight, which is not typically very easy to do. But he keeps fighting replacement fighters and doing things that make him look bad. You know, like, he didn't grapple well with Steven Koslow, and Terrence Mitchell took him down. Like, dude, I'm pretty sure Brady Heastand had beat the shit out of him. Right, like that's my opinion.
What a diss that is. Boom.
But I'm not saying Brady Heastand is trash. Like, I like Brady Heastand. He's a fun prospect and whatever. But like, if you're looking for somebody who's an up and comer, like that's kind of what Brady Heastand is too, right? Like, he's a young guy who hasn't really fully matured into his game yet and is still figuring things out. And like, I think he's a much better prospect than Cameron Simon, because I think Simon has all these grappling deficiencies that we are just not seeing yet. Because he's fighting Steven Koslow and Terrence Mitchell on short notice.
Yeah. And if he thinks he's better than he is too, that's going to catch up to you pretty quick.
Correct.
Once you start fighting people, you have to be humble and continue to try to get better. Hopefully he's doing that privately and he's just putting on the show for the mics. All right. Aguiar, we had Jesus. So of course we're going to ride with Jesus in the flyweight fight. Jesus Aguiar, 17 seconds. We had a lot of quick fights last night. 17 seconds, a knockout punch. He knocked Shannon Ross right out of the UFC after that fight.
I have to imagine, too, that's true. I'm okay with him being fired on this one. Also, and somebody in the Discord mentioned it, I said that there's a good chance that Aguiar KOs him because he throws bombs. And, I didn't think it would be that quick. I didn't think it would be that vicious. But, man, it does seem like Ross just doesn't have a chin anymore, right?
Yeah, which is, if you're in a flyweight, that shouldn't be an issue, but apparently it is for him.
It is at 3 in a row.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure, yeah. And as you said, we didn't predict this. We're not predicting 17-second fights. That's, but we'll leave that for someone else. Yeah. And then it didn't open so well for us. Kamuela Kirk, he was game. He came out, he looked good the first round, but Esteban Ribovic looked pretty darn good all around in this fight. 29-28 across the board for Ribovic, and gave us an L to start off the proceedings.
Yeah, I think they both look good. It's really a shame that this was such an amazing fight card, because I thought after watching that, I was like, man, these two guys are going to win some extra money, and I hope they took care of them, because it was a really fun fight to kick off the night. Kirk looked really good when he could get the grappling going, and then when he couldn't, Ribovic took over. I think that the scorecards were right, even though I was hoping you know, Kirk would have snuck around in there somewhere and get us off on the right feet. But it was, hey, it was super exciting fight. And both guys are like, I don't know, below average lightweights that are going to be fun to watch.
Yep, for sure. So yeah, speaking of bonuses, so originally it was Ribovic, Kirk. We're like, okay, they're going to win fight of the night. And then it was probably Hooker Turner, probably took that. And then a couple of fights later, the real winner came through. Pantoja and Moreno, I won fight of the night. It's 50K for those guys. They're already getting championship money, but oh well, not our money. We don't have to worry about it. And then performance of the night, Dricus du Plessis and Denizi Gomes, two fighters who we picked to lose.
Yeah, and I still don't, as always, I'm going to complain mildly. How does Aguiar not walk out of there with one of those?
Yep.
Dude, he knocked the dude out.
Because he's on the early prelims. The people that need the money don't get it.
He knocked the dude out in 17 seconds with a punch that made a sound that will haunt my dreams for weeks.
You love that stuff. It will be a dream, not a nightmare. It's true. Yeah. Everyone, all the finishers should have got bonuses, but we don't decide these things. So we went 7-6.
Not Petrino. Petrino doesn't need a bonus.
No, Gumby's very anti-Petrino.
I mean, he just doesn't look good.
He's light heavyweight. He's fought seven times. Is he the guy they said started in 2019? So yeah, he probably shouldn't be in the UFC. Is the case, but he's lucky he weighs what he weighs. I think is the moral of that story. We both went 7-6 because we copied each other's picks. We lost $202. Boo for us. We missed all of our special. We've never missed all of our picks on our fancy Nancy picks, but we did. Turner and Price were our locks. That did not come through. Kirk and Procneo were our dogs. That did not come through. Gomes, Harregue going the distance. Nope. And Price winning via knockout. The knockout part was right, but Price was on the receiving end of that. And then our fancy dancy two fight parlay that's going to hit one of these days and get you big money. Price to win in round one. It lasted a round. That's true. And Whitaker to win a decision. That did not happen. So didn't do so hot there, but usually we're pretty good with these things. So I will give us a pass.
Yeah. It felt weird not hitting my dog. I had three in a row six out of seven. So we're going to have to get back on the horse for this. And let me tell you something. People are knocking UFC Fight Night Holm versus Silva, which I know you're about to introduce in a second.
About to introduce it.
As a god-awful card. But there are a lot of very evenly lined fights on this card. Like if you go top to bottom on it, there are way more people in the 100s and early 200s than you see elsewhere. You know, you don't see a lot of 300, 400 numbers on this card. Whereas, like, this last pay-per-view was somewhat hard to make money on because there was our favorite plays were, like, some negative 250 guys. There are going to be a lot of, like, way lower numbers that are kind of fun to play on this card. So, maybe this is going to be more fun for our pockets.
Yep. It is true that Gumby is the king of the sickos, though, and he likes every fight card. And I hope someone can grab the clip that Gumby just said. It felt weird not to hit my dog. I hope someone grabs that clip.
Out of context. And
keep it for evidence. Keep it for evidence. All right. UFC Fight Night Holm versus Bueno Silva, as Gumby said, is coming up on July the 15th. That would be next Saturday from the UFC Apex. Imagine that. Hopefully, we're going to get a Jack Della fight on this card. But here is the fight card as we speak. Holly Holm versus Mayra Buena Silva. Holly Holm never goes away. Always is in title fights. Always is in main events. And basically, she's always one win away from a championship fight, too, no matter how many wins she's strung together. So if she wins this fight, she'll probably get thrown into a championship fight. So that's the main event at bantamweight, because that's what we want, five rounds of that. Middleweights, Albert Duraev, Jean Young Park, Walt Harris, Josh Parisian, Norma Dumont, Chelsea Chandler, Otman Azaitar, Francisco Prado, Terrence McKinney, Nazim Sadikov. Yeah, that's a stellar card for sure. And then early prelims or just prelims. Tucker Lutz, Melsik Bogdazarian, Victoria Dudakova, Estella Nunes, Austin Lingo, Melky Costa, Evan Elder, Gennaro Valdez, Tyson Nam, Azat Maxim, Alexander Munoz, Carl Deaton III, and Ashley Evan Smith. Yes, she still exists, versus Eileen Perez, the queen of bantamweights now that and featherweights, even though it's not really a division. So you're excited about this card, or you think we can make some money on it, is what you're saying?
I think we can make some money out of it. And there's a lot of weirdness, too, which I'm thinking. Yeah, and like, that lightweight fight between Terrence McKinney and Nazim Sadikov should be like very, very violent and absurd. So I'm excited for that. Same with the Ziatar versus Prado. That should be violent. Lingo versus Costa is kind of a barn burner. Osmat Maksim kind of came out of nowhere. Like he's not the kind of person the UFC usually just like signs cold without running him through, you know, contender series or something like that. But here he is, and he's getting Tyson Nam right out the jump. Melsik Magdazarian is never boring. So like there's plenty of exciting fights on here. I think if you're one of those people who's like, well, what happens because of these fights? The answer is nothing. There is nothing of consequence on this card except for the fact that whoever wins the main event might wind up fighting Juliana Pena for the belt. And if Norma Dumont or Chelsea Chandler like puts on a real performance and like, you know, like one of those two goes out and violently knocks the other one out, they might convince Dana White to keep featherweight around a little longer. But other than that, there's not a real lot of consequence here.
We want atomweight. Get rid of bantamweight. I mean, featherweight. Bantamweight, too, if you want. Yeah, I did mention Dumont Chandler is at the fictional weight class of women's featherweight. So, all right, so that is next week, and this is one of our epic long recap episodes. But usually we like to brag when we hit some picks. I guess we hit some dogs, so that was positive. Gumby Knight, there's a clip for everyone. We hit some dogs. All right, we'll be back very, very soon. Tomorrow, one of our non-UFC events, and Gumby has picked a cornucopia, a buffet of regional events for us to cover, which is good. We're gonna jump all around the globe, and I think the cards are, I think it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday too, three cards, which will be fun. It'll be a weekend's worth of picks we'll be giving you, so that'll be tomorrow. In the meantime, the Discord is place to be, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Twitter is SGPNMMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer. I'm also on Instagram at Jeff_Fox_writer, where I put up MMA stuff there. My Substack, you can get all my MMA writing into your inbox every day, pretty much. And you can enter my weekly pick'em contest at moneymma.substack.com. Gumby's got the Todd Turtle MMA podcast. We'll talk more about that shortly. It drops midweek and he has good interviews on it. So that's all you need to know there. And I'm not on it. That's the most important part. And everything that's good in the world is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We shall return, as I said, tomorrow with some regional picks where Gumby excels. Everyone knows that. That show, I will steer the ship, Atomic Jeff Fox. Of course, I will bring on the brute, Gumby Vreeland, as my sidekick. Sidekick? Sure, sidekick. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.